That's awful. I don't know what to do with that. Holy Spirit, maybe bring the volume down just a little bit. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. You are awesome. Thank you for everything you created just for us, to bless us and to show us who you are. Thank you that we are alive right now at this time and not any other time. You have us here now because you wanted us here now. You have a purpose for us here now. So thank you, Father, for the words that are going to come out of my mouth today are your words and not my own, and that everyone here is going to be edified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Man, God is good. I mean, the world is—it's fun right now. Things that just—it's weird what God puts in front of you, and you see things, and you go, and it seems not directed at anything until you start putting it all together, and you realize that it's all connected. It was funny. I have a friend from high school who's always posting those weird videos about if you eat these three foods, you know, you'll repair all your diseases and all that kind of stuff. And some of the stuff I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Some of it I'm like, it's a little weird. So, but he posted something on Celtic sea salt, and I thought, well, that was interesting. And then, like, for 2 weeks, that's all I see is people talking about this, because I guess Celtic sea salt has 82 minerals or something like that, and the body needs 92 minerals, and so it's like the most mineral-packed thing. And it's funny because then I got onto another video about a guy. This is from I had a tooth pulled a couple weeks ago, because it just broke off and just, you know, it wasn't happy, so they had to dig it out of my mouth, and I did not opt for any of the good stuff, and so I just, Mary goes, why'd you do that? I'm like, I have no idea. I was just in that chair. I just wanted some abuse for a while. So just gripping the chair, letting her dig it out of my mouth. She was actually she's a very good dentist, so hallelujah. I don't trust dentists, but I like her. She's a good dentist. She loves Jesus, so hallelujah. I don't trust their education. That has nothing to do with their intentions. This has a point, I promise. Anyway, so this video popped up about a guy who's like, you can heal your teeth if you do these, you know, five things. And you think, well, this guy's genuine. Then at the end, you realize he's selling something. You're like, ah, oh, you got me for an hour. It's like, but he did. He made some really interesting points. He said, I was having problems with my teeth. I took care of them. I did everything the dentist said, and they kept falling out of my face. You know, they were rotting. I was having cavities. And he said, so I prayed about it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to listen to this guy. He said he prayed about it. And God gave him all this wisdom, and it was good. You know, he was talking about, you know, oil pulling. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It's something Mary does every morning. It's obnoxious. I would not want to do it, but I'm probably going to have to because it kills all the bad bacteria in your mouth, which cause cavities. But he said the number one problem why we have cavities, because if you go to countries that aren't westernized, their food is complete. It's whole. It's like even food, like if you eat healthy food, because he said, I eat healthy food. He goes, but it doesn't make a difference. Why? Because we destroyed our soil. What did the Bible, I was thinking about that. What does the Bible say? Every year, every 7 years, you leave your field fallow. God didn't do that to be a jerk. He did that because it was wisdom. You know, he's like, just follow my plan and it'll work. Hey, I designed this. Just follow my plan. And so, you know, he was saying, our soil is terrible, and so our body doesn't get what it needs. And so since it doesn't get what it needs, our teeth fall out of our mouth and we get diseases and all this kind of stuff because we're not eating healthy food. Even if you're eating healthy food, it's not, because the soil is dirt. You know, it's no longer soil. In the horticultural word, dirt is a four-letter word. I mean, soil is also a four-letter word, but I mean, it's like, you don't say that. It's funny. We were taught in class, you don't say dirt because it's just a wrong word. That was supposed to be funny, but you guys are serious. but it's wisdom. That wisdom of God is so powerful. he was going through and he was showing that, yeah, all these other places where they, at least island, there'll be an island and it'll be split in two, and half will eat Western diet and the other half will just eat what the land provides. And the people that ate off the land that provided, they don't brush their teeth, they don't care, but they eat healthy, they eat food that's, so it's like, that's wisdom of God. And so God keeps showing me that. Just go back to my wisdom. Go back to my wisdom. Man is always trying to perfect on God. Man is always trying to outdo God. We can do better than God. This thing God did is too slow. That's actually one of the big problems with God, is he's too slow. You know, if you use, I went to school for horticulture. If you use chemical fertilizer, that plant will grow. It'll grow fast. It'll put off big fruit. It's great. But if you use organic fertilizer, it grows slower. The food isn't as big. But what do you know? It's healthier. It tastes better. It said a healthy food. So one of the things the guy said was interesting. He said, the food right now is so bad that you have to eat so much of it to get so many nutrients out of it. If it were proper food, you could eat one of them and it would give you everything that we would need 10 of. You know, it's just like we're, you know, messing with God's deal. We're always trying to make it better, faster, stronger. It's like God already made it perfect. Why are we trying to mess with God's deal? And that's because we think we're brilliant. You know, going all the way back to the garden, Adam and Eve, ate the apple because they wanted to be like God. I don't have that problem anymore. I'm like, God, I don't want to be smart. I just want to ask you, because every time I'm smart, I mess it up. I make a bigger mess, and then I have to clean it up. And that's no fun. And then we're supposed to enjoy this world. You know, the Bible says in this world you're going to have trouble, but count it all joy, I've overcome the world. That's because you're supposed to be living in God. And if you're living in God, the troubles don't matter. It's like, who cares? You know, everything falls apart. God keeps bringing up Job to me, and Job is exciting because everything fell apart. In the end, he realized, oh, God, God said, you know, were you there at the beginning? No, you weren't. I was. I made everything. You're going to trust me? I trust you. Because, you know, at first he was like, I trust you, God, and then it just kept getting worse. He's like, yeah, I'm really not liking this. You know, I'm still trusting you. And that's, you know, I know, I'm there. I've done that. You're like, I know God is right. You get angry at him. You're like, yeah, but God is right. And you're like, you're like, God, why am I being tormented? This is awful. But it's like, yeah, it's because you're not trusting God. You know, you're looking at your circumstances, and circumstances mean nothing. So, because God will take care of it. He's already provided a way. So, life is fun. And get back to the beginning. Get back to what's real. Get back to, I would say that with language. It's so important with language. I know I've said that before, but it's, you know, you can't use the world's language, because the world uses language to soften things, to make things gray. Everything's black and white. God says it's this or that. You know, it's like, don't justification is what the world wants to do. They're always trying to justify their sin because they feel bad about it. It's like God didn't ask you to feel bad about your sin, because that means if you feel bad about your sin, that means you can do something about it, and you can't. He said either be perfect or accept me. One of those two things. And since none of us can be perfect, you know, that only leaves us Jesus. And I don't know if it was Cooper that was saying that. It's like God is not interested in our sin. He's interested in our heart. He said, when I say he's not interested in our sin, what I'm saying is he said, I will take care of your sin. You don't worry about your sin. You can't do it anyways. You can't take care of your sin. You can't undo it. You can't not sin. We're going to sin to the day we die. It may not be the dumb sins we did when we were young. They'll be more sneaky, you know, or even, you know, the devil is so sneaky that he can make sins look religious. And you go, oh, I'm doing good. And really, you're just being religious. You're not, you know, it's fun because I get, somebody messaged me this week about once saved, always saved. And don't take this as gospel, but I mean, I said, this is how I see it. He said, he sent me this video and these two guys were arguing. And he said, which one's right? I said, they're both wrong. I said, they're both wrong. Because the one guy was saying, you know, well, if you're living in sin, blah, 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 and all this guy, the other guy said, well, you know, you could lose your salvation. I said, I don't know that, I don't, once you're in God's hand, nobody can take you out of God's hand. You can't lose your salvation. I said, the question is, and this is what I don't know the answer to, the question is whether you can give your salvation back. I don't think anybody would want to. Once you're saved, why would you ever give it back? But you can't lose it. Somebody can't take it from you. You can't just go, you can get saved, live the most debauched life, and you're still going to heaven. That's awful. That should not be right. You should go to hell for being awful. But you already took the free gift. It means you don't understand who God is. It means you're not living full of joy. You're living miserable, trying to still please your flesh. So, I mean, that's the whole parable about the guy that came. The guy that came in the morning and the guy that came in the midday. They all got the same. They all got salvation. They all got to go to heaven. Whether or not you have a relationship with God and are full, that's a different thing. I mean, if the problem is most people today don't see real Christians. That's why we got to be the salt and the light. We got to be the real Christians so they see us and they go, man, you are full of joy. You're full of joy and everything's falling apart and you're still happy. That's ridiculous. I mean, it's like every time a truck gets broken into, hasn't happened in a while, thank you, Jesus. And I'm always, the police officer comes, and I'm like, man, I probably need to be kind of morose so that he thinks that everything is. But I'm not. I'm like, oh, well, praise God. God will take care of it. It's just stuff. You know, that's just counted all joy, trouble. Who cares? God loves us. We're going to read in John today. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. Let's get into the scripture. I wonder if that's what my dad used to do. He used to do mini sermons for like 20 minutes, and then he'd get into it. And then at the end, he'd do another mini sermon or two. So we used to call it second ending and third ending. Sometimes we get to a fourth ending. John, the Gospel of chapter 13. The word is, it's good. It's good because you see yourself in it. And you should always see yourself as the dumb guy, because that's who we are. And Jesus having to explain it, because you think, oh, I'd love it if, when Jesus said the parable, if I understood it. Jesus had 12 disciples, and every time when he was done saying the parable, he had to explain it to them. This is what this means. it's like, don't think you're going to be brilliant. Even the 12 guys that he chose, they didn't get it. He had to explain it to them. I mean, it's a good thing we have this word, that's why it's so exciting about this word, is it opens up everything to us. It shows us God's heart, and that's what's important. There's so many. I'm working with a family right now. I'm remodeling their kitchen, and they're a sweet family. And I've never really hung around Catholics very much, and they're Catholic. And they say a lot of really awesome things, and I'm like, these people are going to heaven. I know they know Jesus. And then they say some really dumb things, and I'm like, golly. And I just keep my mouth shut because it's not my place. But it's like, once I'm done working on this job, maybe I'll come back and talk to you about all the pray into the saints and all that garbage. It's like I did a sermon about a year ago called Jesus Plus. It's like we're always trying to add plus to Jesus, and it's like it's already perfect. Stop trying to add your own brilliance to God. We always try to make things understandable to our own intellect. But we don't understand God. God doesn't make sense. Why does God do everything slowly? Because he knows what's going on. He designed it. You know, it's like just be patient and enjoy the ride. And before the feast of Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should move from this world to the Father, loving his own in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper having occurred, the devil having already put in the heart of Simon's son Judas Iscariot, that he should betray him, Jesus, knowing that his Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he came out from God and goes away to God, he rose up from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself, and then he put water in the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to wipe off with a towel with which he was girded. So he already knew everything bad that was about to happen. But he knew the purpose of it. It's like, it's like when it's like the whole world is falling apart. And like I was talking to Holly last night, and I'm, there's people that are bad, and you just want to be, you just go, like, your flesh would go, man, I can't wait till that person burns in hell. But your spirit goes, man, I hope that person finds Jesus. Help me be a light so that person finds Jesus. Because your flesh is interested in this world. It's interested in joy and peace, and I mean, in happiness. Happiness and peace and entertainment and everything. But your spirit is interested in getting people to know Jesus, because they know that's where the real goods are. That's where everything is. And so it's like, the more Jesus kills me, the less I'm interested in those people getting it. It's funny, because years ago I would have been immediately like, get them, God. And now I'm like, help me show them you. Put me in a place how I can show them you. And whether or not they change or not, at least they've heard it. Then it's up to them to decide whether or not they can choose you or not. The most wicked person on the face of the earth right now, you know, Klaus Schwab, whoever it be, throw out a name. That guy's wicked. That guy could come to Jesus. And he doesn't want Jesus. He's got his thing. You know, he's the rich guy that doesn't need Jesus. That's who the rich guy is. He's the guy that has so much power and so much wealth. He doesn't need God. He can just do things. He can just pay somebody, hey, go do whatever to this guy, or destroy this company or whatever. He can do that. But man, he's empty. You can see it in his eyes. He's empty. He needs Jesus. You can tell when you walk up to a person and you can see it in their eyes whether or not they know Jesus or not. I mean, their eyes are lit up, or they're miserable, you know, or empty. Not even miserable, just empty. You can see it when somebody's empty. And he came unto then to Simon Peter, that one said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what am I doing? Do ye not know? But you will know after these things. And Peter said to him, you may in no way wash my feet to the age. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. And Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, the one having been bathed has no need other than to wash the feet, but is wholly clean. And you are clean, but not all. For we know the one betraying him, and for this reason he said, you are not all clean. So he's talking about Judas. So again, Peter was making in his own mind, he's like, well, man, if you're going to wash my feet, wash my head, wash my hands. Jesus is like, calm down, Peter. I just need to wash your feet. You know, your heart. See, he wasn't talking about clean spiritually. He was talking about their hearts. They all loved everybody but Jesus' hearts. Loved Judas, I think, was intrigued by Jesus. But his problem was he was still stuck in the world. The other, because Judas was, I mean, the other guys, they were all, you know, nothing. They needed somebody. That's Jesus comes for the people who are nothing, because they need him. He doesn't come, you know, Jesus didn't come for the righteous, the Bible says. He came for the sinners. You know, everybody's a sinner. But people who are righteous or think they're righteous, you know, he didn't come for those people, because they already think they can do it on their own. So, again, like Cooper said, it's about the heart. Jesus knew their heart. You guys are already clean. You guys desire to be with me for eternity. You guys desire to follow God. Because they weren't perfect. They all sinned. I mean, Peter sinned later that night, you know, betrayed Jesus 3 times. I probably would have done that too. There's fear. Fear gets on you. It's like, I don't think I would do it anymore. I think I'd relish it. I'd be like, torture me. Let's see what happens. Let's see if I can lead you to Christ while you're torturing me. And again, when that happens, I don't know if it'll be the case, but I like to imagine that. Are you guys like that? Just do your worst, and I'm going to praise Jesus the whole time. Then when he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, reclinging again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me the teacher and the Lord, and you say, well, for I am. So He is teacher and he is Lord. But if I washed your feet, the Lord and the teacher, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I gave you an example that as I did to you, you also should do. Truly I say to you, a slave is no greater than his Lord, or a messenger greater than the one sending him. So, God is taught, everybody's equal. In this world, everybody's equal. You can be a king or a slave, and you're still equal. You're still both going to stand before God when everything comes to an end. It's like, so that's why, like if you were to come across a movie star, you shouldn't be awestruck, because they're going to stand before God just like you are. And you should go, that's just a person. They just may be famous, but they're just a person. You know, they need God just like I need God. They've probably gotten into way more mess than I've ever been able to, because they've had the ability to. You know, thank God that I'm poor. I can't get into trouble as much. If you got money, you can get into all sorts of trouble. I get into enough trouble as it is. So, if you know these things, blessed are you, and if you do them, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I chose out. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, the one eating the bread with me lifted up his head, his heel against me. For this time I tell you before it happened, that when it happens you may believe that I am. Truly I say to you, the one who receives whomever I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives the one who sent me. So, it's interesting. I heard something the other day, and I don't know why I never thought about this. Somebody said something, and it was like just a light went off, and it said, you know, Jesus did everything he did, and he fulfilled all these prophecies. But when he rose from the dead, he proved them all true. You know, anybody could have done, I mean, it would have been hard, but anybody could have done all those prophecies. But when he rose from the dead, that's one prophecy that nobody else can do. I mean, that was it. That was it. He said, you know, I've fulfilled all these prophecies, and now I'm raised from the dead. That's the final one. And you can't dispute that. You know, and there was, people will try, but, you know, there was all these witnesses, and I don't know if there's a satirical, you know, internet company called the Babylon Bee, and they did one with all the disciples, and they were standing around after Jesus was crucified. And at first, you don't understand it, because they're like, well, Jesus died, and he's in the grave. And they're like, well, we should all just pretend like he raised from the dead. And they're like, yeah, that sounds great. And then what'll happen? We'll all get persecuted and die. And you're like, and at first you're like, I don't understand that. And you're like, because nobody would do that. If your master had died and he didn't raise from the dead, you wouldn't pretend like he'd raised from the dead, because you're going to be persecuted. And if he didn't raise from the dead like he said he would, then he wasn't God. So they wouldn't have given up their lives like that. That's a perfect witness. I mean, you don't do that. You know, if you see the guy that you're following lied, you leave. You know, I used to go to this Bible study, and it was a really good Bible study. And then one day the guy said, the Holy Spirit told me that Jesus was a created being. And I was like, I will see you later. I said, that's blasphemy. I said, you might as well be a Jehovah's Witness, because that's what they believe. So, and he's like, no. I'm like, you did not hear from the Holy Spirit. That was not from God. And I left. I didn't go back there. You know, so that was, the disciples would have done the same thing. They would have been like, well, I guess that wasn't the guy. But he was, and they preached to the death. I mean, Jesus raised from the dead, so they preached to the death. I mean, that's good. We could do that same thing. I mean, that's what Monty does. Monty goes out and he talks to Monty and Jackie and Monty's mom. They go talk to the homeless. Those people are stinky and grumpy, but they're needy. You know, you think, because in your mind you go, well, God, I don't want them to come to the church building because they're stinky and they're grumpy and, you know, they're uncouth. But that's who Jesus came for, the people who need him. He didn't come to the people who didn't need him. You know, that's who we're supposed to go out after. go to the highways and the byways, the people that are, I know all these people that are just crazy right now, what the world calls woke. They're hungering for something, and they're going full bore at what they think is reality, and they think it's going to bring them joy. And you can see they're miserable. Man, they are so ripe for the harvest. If you talk to them correctly, you can't beat them over the head. I mean, I was talking to some people the other day, and you can't just say, you know, you're going to hell. That's not, they're going to immediately shut down. You have to show them light and salt. And I got into a discussion about this popular show about Jesus, you know, The Chosen, because there was somebody on the set that had a flag, you know, one of the pride flags, and I didn't know what to think about it. And then the guy that did the show, he goes, you know, he talked about it, he goes, you know, this isn't a ministry, this isn't a church. He goes, I run a business, and as a business, I'm not going to tell people what they can and cannot believe. He goes, that person knows that I don't believe what they believe, and I know that they don't believe what I believe, but it's a business. I can't control that. He goes, whether or not you continue to, and I'm not condoning the show, I'm not telling you to watch it, I'm telling you not to watch it, I'm just saying, I agree with the man. Yeah, it's a business. If it's not a ministry and it's not church, you're in the world, and he said, if I were to go into a place of business and I wore a cross around my neck and they said, you can't wear that in here, it's not, I had to go, well, yeah, I can, because it's, you know, that's the law, you know, you can't discriminate against me. He goes, so I can't do that to them. And people from that show who weren't Christians, have gotten saved because of it, you know. It's got some issues. So it's not gospel. So don't watch and go, this is gospel, because it'll mess you up. They definitely use some artistic license. But man, it's a blessing. You could see the heart of Jesus in it. It's good. But it's not gospel. It's just entertainment. You guys all got that? Entertainment. So, but it's good, because the same person that I was talking with, they listen to a lot of people that are Calvinists. And those people, I know they know Jesus, but the problem is they're legalistic. And they're missing the point. They're into works, and they're going to force being good. And it's like, you can't force yourself to be good. Only God can be good in you. If you're forcing yourself to be good, I don't think it's going to be the thing where you get to heaven and God, Father says, I didn't know you, you know, whatever. And you're going to say, what, I do all this good work? I don't think it's going to be that. I think they're going to get to heaven. Because they love Jesus and they know Jesus is their Savior. So remember, I said earlier, wicked your entire life, or, you know, hypocritical your entire life, you know, Jesus is in you, you're going to heaven. But they're missing the point, because they're making the works God and not making God God. I probably said this before. There was a guy, and he would go out. He went out for like an entire year, and he prayed for people to be healed, and nobody got healed. Maybe God told him to do that. I don't know. Maybe God was working on his faith, because that would definitely test your faith if you prayed for hundreds of people and nobody ever got healed. And then one day somebody finally got healed. But I'm like, if God didn't tell you to do that, don't do that, because that's you're wasting your time. I mean, I waste my time anyways. So I mean, wasting my time doing what. Anyway, you know, don't ask God. When God says say this to that person, you go say it to that person. But if God doesn't say it, don't do it. Even because a lot of times in our heart, you know, we see things and we have compassion and we want to do something out of compassion. But if it's not from God, then you have no idea. You could destroy somebody by opening your mouth. You know, that's not what they need to hear at the moment. Sometimes people need a rebuke. Sometimes they need, you know, encouragement. So, and Jesus always encouraged people with, you know, gently. The only people he rebuked harshly were the religious people who thought they knew God. You know, kicked them out of the temple. You know, you guys don't. So where am I at? You guys know? What's that? 21. 21, thank you. I took my finger off the page. Saying these things, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified and said, indeed, I tell you truly, that one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked upon one another, doubting of whom he spoke. I don't know, you guys probably didn't ever go to Baptist school. Baptist school was the worst. When somebody did something wrong and the teacher didn't know who did it, they would, we're going to find out who did it. And you're thinking in your mind, put on the most innocent face you have. Put on the most innocent. You're just like, you didn't do it. So it's like, why would you need to do that? But you're like, she's going to think I did it. I'm sure I look guilty. It's like the disciples were all like, is it me? I don't think, I don't have that in my heart. You know, it's like, it's scary. Those Baptist teachers were scary. But there was one of his disciples reclining at the bosom of Jesus, whom Jesus loved. Then Simon Peter signaled to him and asked whom it might be of whom he spoke. And leaning on the breast of Jesus, he said to him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, It is he to whom I have dipped the morsel shall give it. And dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the morsel, then Satan entered into that one. And Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one of those reclining knew this, for he had spoken to him. For some sought, since Jesus held the money bag, that Jesus was saying to him, buy what things we have need of for the feast. Or that he should give something to the poor. And then receiving the morsel, he immediately went out. And it was night. I wouldn't want to have been Judas. But we could easily do that. We could be that. But the grace of God, he's touched all our hearts. It's like the parable of the seeds, where, you know, there's good ground and there's stony ground. So the seed went in and it was exciting to Judas, and then his heart just got hardened. It wasn't there. He was still stuck in the world. It's like an opportunity. You know, you see something cool going on. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, somebody's always going to be like the revival they had or whatever. Somebody's always going to be opportunistic and like, oh, this is cool. Let me get in on this deal. So the thing is, Judas could have easily been forgiven by God. He just had to, he didn't have to, you know, whatever. Because, you know, we can betray him and he still will forgive us. And then, which was obvious because of Peter. And then when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man was glorified and God was glorified in him. If God was glorified in him, God also will glorify him in himself and immediately will glorify him. And the little children, yet a little while am I with you. These are all grown men and he calls them little children. Because they do, they're kids. I mean, he's like, hey, you guys should be gleaning everything I'm saying. You should be taking notes because I'm not going to be here forever. The little children, yet for a little while am I with you, and ye seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I go, you will not be able to come. And I also say to you now, I give you a new commandment to you, that you should love one another according as I have loved you. And you should also love one another. By this you shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love among one another. There's a good song. They will know that we are Christians by our love. It's good. You know, it's true. When I think what's interesting is, like, I have doctrinal issues with some of these people, but I still know they love Jesus. So even though I have doctrinal issues and I think they should seek that, which I don't think they will, because I think they're in their brilliance that they don't need to. You know, I'm talking about like the Calvinists and whatever. And even the Catholics, they have severe doctrinal issues about things that the Bible says not to do. But these people that I'm with, they love Jesus, and I know they know the truth. Because we were talking about the difference between joy and happiness the other day. She goes, yeah. She goes, my joy is not in my circumstances. And you can't, a normal Catholic shouldn't know that. So that means she reads her word, that she understands there's a difference between joy and happiness. Because a normal Catholic would go, well, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven or not. She understands that her joy is in God. So I could have doctrinal issues with people and still know that they could, you know, they're a brother or sister. They may not be, anyway, I'm getting off into the weeds. We still, oh, I know where I was going with that. It's love, you know, I mean, this is totally silly. Somebody said the other day, it was funny, he goes, everybody keeps saying love is love, and he goes, well, water is water, but I still wouldn't drink from the toilet. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. So, when you love somebody, like I was saying, I think I said this in Dallas a few weeks ago. We do things for several reasons. One, we feel obligated. We love somebody in a way that we feel like we need to do it. You know, one out of fear, one out of desire. But when you're in love with someone, you just do it because you love them. You can love somebody. That doesn't mean you're in love with somebody. You know, I can have love towards somebody, but when I'm in love with Jesus, I can bless people even if they're hurting me, because Jesus has filled me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they're doing. He's teaching me to see past what is happening, and that's what's important. You go, God, why is this person persecuting me? Because they're not. You know, because it said, I don't even remember where it was, but he said, you know, you're not persecuting that person, you're persecuting Jesus, you know. I don't remember where that's at in the Bible. But love is a good key. You realize you're growing up when you can love somebody even though they're wicked. I mean, that's fun. That's fun. You go, I love that person even though they're wicked. And you're like, I must be dying. Like I said, it's not maturity, it's death. I'm not getting more mature, because we're not going to mature. We're not going to ever more mature. We're going to die more. We're going to allow Jesus to be in us more. We're going to allow Jesus to be alive in us, and less of us, more of him, until one day it's all of him and none of us. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where do you go? And Jesus answered, where I go, you are not able to follow me now. Now, he said. But afterwards, you shall follow me. And Peter said to him, Lord, where am I not able to follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, you will lay down your life for me. Indeed, I tell you truly, in no way shall the cock crow until you shall deny me three times. So it's like, that's like I said, you know, I'm like, I'll be tortured for Christ and I'll, you know, maybe not. Peter was excited like that too. He's like, God, Jesus, I'll lay down my life. And Jesus is like, yeah, it's when the rubber hits the road, let's see what happens. So, but you know, he did later, you know. So, we're in an exciting time. I said a few weeks ago, when it gets dark, our light is going to be that much brighter. If everything is going okay in the country, nobody needs a light. But if everything's falling apart, that's when people need light. And so, you know, get the junk out of your life. It's God. God's going to do it. But, you know, give it to God. Say, God, I see that in my life. If you want to get rid of that, go ahead. I give you permission. My flesh probably doesn't want to let it go, but my spirit says, yeah, take it. And he will. He'll start to strip that stuff away. Because when you realize that this world has nothing to offer you and that Jesus has everything to offer you, you're not worried about this world. You're not worried about your body, your, you know, physical body or whatever. You're not worried about being abused or it says it's awesome if we're, you know, persecuted it's when the Sermon on the Mount. You know, if you're persecuted in my name, that's a good thing. Okay. That doesn't sound right, but Jesus said it was a good thing, so it's a good thing. Again, it doesn't sound right, but it's a good thing because God said it. Remember, this world is fleeting. It's just we're here for a moment. I'll say this, the last thing, and I don't know if this is me or this is God. I always think when I see something, and I always think I could do something about that, and then I always think, and it leads to this, you need to pray about it, because I think some people have thought they were doing things from God and then got themselves hurt, and it did nothing. You have to ask God, God, is that something you want me to do? Do you want me to go to that third world country where they hate Christians or not? I mean, that one lady whose husband went in the airplane, they landed and they killed them all. It didn't seem right. But you know what? She went back later and they all got saved. So we have no idea. Did God, that man gave up his life. And was that God? They all got saved. So yeah, I would say that was. So you have to ask God. God, do you want me to put my neck out there for? Because you can't just do everything. I always think, God, there's got to be something really important in life, and you're saving me for that, and that's why I haven't done anything stupid yet. And just, I keep my mouth shut a lot of times on social media because I don't want to stick my neck out yet. But when something comes and I have to do it, I want to do it. I'm going to go all in. And it's going to be hard because there's going to be a lot of trouble from it. You know, I mean, the devil's going to come after me. I'm just talking now. I'm just having fun. God has already prepared the way for us. This is an exciting time. He has you here right now on purpose. I know I said this a few weeks ago. You were not meant to be Paul. You were not meant to be Peter. You were not meant to be David. You were meant to be who you are, and you're meant to be here right now at this time. God has a plan for you. Understand that. You don't need to wish I was so-and-so or I wish I lived at this time. You're exactly where God has you on purpose, and it's exciting. So be, you know, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this world you created for us so that we could get to know you. Thank you for this word that you gave us so that we could get to know you. Thank you for the people that are hard to get along with, that we can learn to die and love them in spite of them. And thank you that people love us, even though we're hard to get along with. They love us too. Thank you that we're all sharpening each other. Iron sharpens iron. Thank you that you give each and every one of us a word that we can share with each other. You talk to each and every one of us. We're all precious. We're all important. We all can hear from you. Bless everyone today and let them all have edifying conversation and just enjoy the weather before it gets too hot. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Monty, can you? Oh, Monty's not here. Somebody else want to do the benediction? All right, we won't do it this week. Do we want to do? There's a box in the back if you guys want to do tithes. So, hallelujah. You guys are awesome. Be blessed. God's growing me up. He's growing you guys up too. I know it.